guys, hello, hi, welcome to the Healthy Behemoth Podcast. My name is Callie. I am so excited you're here, as you can probably tell with my voice and me talking super fast. As I was about to open the computer to record the podcast, I was in the bathroom and I was like, what am I going to talk about today? Literally, what am I going to talk about? And it hit me. It hit me so fast, you guys. I was like, this is the Holy Spirit, literally. Just all of a sudden remembering, okay, this episode is going to drop days before Easter. If you're listening in real time when this thing drops, literally days. And I was like, oh my goodness, I was really wanting to kind of talk about like how to let go of past mistakes you've made, how to release yourself of judgment and shame and all those things. And I was like, okay, this is literally such cool timing because it is Easter, which if you are familiar with Jesus, Jesus literally died on the cross for our sins. That's Easter. And he resurrected. And so through Jesus, we have life. We have life, and we don't have to live in this darkness, this heaviness, this sin, shame, all those things. Because Jesus. You guys, I posted a social media post on, I have like 5 social media accounts, just so you know. One of my accounts is called Sunshine Pilates. I have a faith-based Pilates studio in Florida. I also have YouTube workouts, you guys. Oh my goodness. In case you didn't know, you can work out and do faith-based workouts on YouTube now. So anyways, I run the social media and I was making a little post, and there's a trend going around on TikTok. It's like basically, you write like a question, like an accusatory kind of question, like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? And the question that I wrote was, why would you add religion to a workout? I have actually gotten a comment like this before, and it made me giggle because I was like, LOL, that is just from the enemy. Because these workouts are so amazing and they bring just so much life to people. So anyways, I made that my question, and then the answer was, because Jesus. Like, you have like basically the response to the accusatory question. Anyways, I don't ever explain the trend to you. You might know what I'm talking about. But I posted that on social media, and I love Jesus. I was having a hard time thinking about like, how do I answer this question? Like, I don't want to be all defensive, whatever, but it's literally just because Jesus. We love him. We love Jesus. So as you can tell, I'm in a Jesus fangirl club right now. I mean, I'm always in a Jesus fangirl club. He's awesome. And in case you're listening and you're like, wait, this is a faith-based podcast? Yes, yes, it is. It's called Healthy Be Human. But my big focus here is helping you guys become healthier mentally, physically, and spiritually. I didn't used to be a Christian. I grew up Christian, fell out of my faith for like 5 years, was walking in a different religion, aka New Age. And then I found the Holy Spirit. I had a Holy Spirit encounter and he changed my life, and I'm on fire for God again. So I love God, and I made this podcast faith-based because I couldn't help but not talk about my love for the Lord. He has changed my life. He has literally transformed me inside and out. I look at old videos of myself in this era of time when I was not walking with God, and I was like, I don't even recognize myself, you guys. If you looked at my Snapchat conversations with people, you would be shocked. I was dropping F-bombs left and right. I was living a totally different life than I do now. It is actually so wild just to see like the heart shift, because all of those things are sin, and that can be sin in our life. We can be so focused on fixing the sin, but not focused on God. So it feels super hard to get rid of the sin. But you guys, I really believe that the Lord just, I have a love for the Lord. And as a result, he has just started to slowly, over the course of however many 3 years I've been walking in my faith again, purifying my heart. I mean, these are things that just stopped becoming things in my life. And I didn't even really realize it. Like, it wasn't this active shift of, I'm no longer going to cuss left and right. I really believe he just took that out of my heart. And I just stopped over the course of time, just started to notice myself dropping these words and saying things that weren't of the Lord, and being like, I don't really want that in my life. Like, I just kind of started to notice it, and I was like, I'm not going to say it. I'd hold my tongue. Like, I don't, get me wrong, like, I'm not perfect. I haven't really cussed in a long time, but I think there were moments where like I'd get really angry and things would slip out of my mouth. But it is really cool to look at your life if you found the Lord and you're like, whoa, he has really shaped my heart. And it's not for me, like, it didn't happen like overnight. I feel like I'm just diving right into the episode, honestly. So hi. I really don't think he shifted. He didn't, like, I didn't have like a Saul to Paul moment, if you know what that I'm talking about. In the New Testament, there's this guy named Saul. He was literally killing Christians. He was super, super against the church. And then he had this just God encounter on the road where literally he was blinded by God. And it was Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And from that moment on, Saul became Paul and ended up becoming on fire for the Lord, just wrote tons of books in the New Testament. I mean, he had a huge shift literally in the second. So God can totally do that. But in my case, my testimony is a little different. I feel like I want to just share a little bit of my testimony. One of you guys actually messaged me about that, I think this past week. I don't know who, I forget who it was, but shout out if you're listening and you know you asked me that question. I want to give you a shout out because I want to just talk a little bit about my testimony. And don't worry, we will do a self-check-in, but I think this is a little important right now. So just a little bit about my testimony in a nutshell. I know I've shared it on the podcast, but I want to share an updated version. I think the first time I ever shared it, I was so nervous, you guys. It was right before Easter. I remember it so vividly. It was actually 2 years ago, I think. I just felt the Holy Spirit be like, share your story. I shared my story, you guys. It was very, very detailed. Maybe, I'm not going to say a little too detailed, but I want to just kind of share more of a concise version of my testimony. So if you want to listen to the raw, who was Callie 2 years ago testimony version, you can search in the little search bar testimony in my show and it'll pull up and you can listen to that. But just a little backstory on everything. I did grow up a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. I had such a love for the Lord, such a love when I was little. I mean, remember just knowing he was so real. Like when I accepted the Lord into my heart and invited Jesus into my heart, I remember that moment so clearly. Like I just remember my whole body got really tingly and I just like felt him. And it was really beautiful. I felt the Lord. And then continuing on, I think in my childhood, I had a lot of spiritual encounters with light things of the Lord and then dark things. So when I was a child, I could see ghosts in my house. I had ghosts in my house, and I believe ghosts are demonic. So it's really interesting. I don't know if I've actually ever shared this on my podcast. So this is really cool, you guys. This is a testimony of God and the power of the name Jesus. So everyone in my family saw a ghost at some point in my house. I lived in an old house in Canada. And I remember I would see these like figures on the wall when I was walking upstairs. And I remember I'd get a really, really like dark fear, kind of sinking feeling in my stomach when I would see them. And I would try to get rid of that feeling by like talking to them and being like, "Hi." But you know, it didn't really help. I'd run upstairs and I would tell my parents. Every single person in my family, I'm not going to go into detail about things that happened, but there was a lot that happened in my house. Anyways, long story short is my parents actually prayed over the house. They prayed in the name of Jesus and had things leave. After they prayed, nothing ever came back again in that house. So I share this because I have chills as I'm sharing the story, good chills, because literally the power of Jesus, using his name, we have authority to drive darkness out. Darkness flees at the name of Jesus. So I'm saying that because literally I have seen ghosts flee. They've left the house. They've left. They haven't come back. We don't have to be afraid of darkness because when we have the Lord, when we have him, we have the authority that Christ has. We can walk in that same authority. We don't have to be afraid of scary looking things in our life, whether it's physical or mental or whatever. We don't have to be afraid. So that's a little side testimony there. Really cool stuff. But I grew up a Christian and I knew God was real. I knew he was real. We went to church every Sunday. I just loved Jesus. I was so on fire for the Lord, you guys. Like, not to toot my own horn, but like, I loved him. I had just this like, childlike faith for God. And then I started to date someone in high school, freshman year of high school. The person I was dating was not a Christian. And I noticed that when I started dating him, it's a whole side story, but I definitely put a lot of my worth and value in how guys saw me. I wasn't ever really like the cool kid in school. So I think I really sought out people's approval of myself. And once I got to the age where I noticed guys, I wanted guys to notice me. So when I got in my first relationship, that's when I really sought this guy's approval. And I would kind of do everything to get him to stay with me, to like him or to like me. And as a result, I fell into sexual sin. And I didn't want to do that. Like, I genuinely, my heart when I first started dating this person was I wanted to wait until marriage. But alas, I fell into sexual sin and I was just in that. And I was, you know, it's interesting to me. I read a verse recently. I don't know where I read this. Okay, anyways, I read something recently that, oh no, it was at a sermon I was listening to. How sometimes the life of freedom, like freedom ahead of us, like there's a path of freedom that can look like freedom, but it's not actually freedom. It is the path to death. I just think about like, I think, who is it? Robert Frost? Who wrote that poem? That's like the road, the narrow path is the road that is usually not taken. And like the wide path is usually the one that's taken. I kind of butchered that. Anyways, in the moment when I got into sexual sin, I remember thinking like, what's the big deal about this? I thought it was going to be like, the biggest deal in the world that like I had sex before marriage, and it didn't feel like this big deal in the moment. And so I kept doing it and I kept just doing more and more things. Before I knew it, I was a junior in high school running with the cool kids. And they weren't really the cool kids, but they were kind of like the bad kids in school. I was drinking, getting drunk. I drove drunk. I got in trouble for that. Thankfully, my parents caught me and I got grounded. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ that I did not kill anyone. Oh my goodness. And I also would smoke weed, not often, but sometimes. And I really did not like it. But I was running with the bad kids in school, so I would kind of do things that they were doing, and they were the kids that, you know, like the kids that are a little insecure in how much they drink and things they do, and they like pressure people to do it. That was the people I was running with. I remember they'd be like, why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you doing this? And as a result, I'd fall into their pressure and stuff. So anyways, I was definitely just going down that slippery slope where it was like so interesting. Like those things in the moment were little things to me. Like they didn't seem like this big deal. When I would do them, I was like, oh, what's the big deal about getting hammered? What's the big deal about driving drunk? What's the big deal about all these things? But it's really interesting because these little things slowly will build over time. And before you knew it, I was full-blown lying to my parents, lying about where I was. I remember this so vividly. And my parents are listening. Sorry, you guys. I mean, you already know I was a little rebellious. But you guys, I remember I was fully in the back of someone's car. We were going to downtown Pittsburgh in, I don't even know how late at night. We went to some really weird underground club thing in high school. And we also would go to like parties in the woods. Like we would do really sketchy things that were so dangerous. If I look back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like what was I doing? But it's just the grace of the Lord that he protected me. Like I was in full blown rebellion mode, you guys. I remember in this phase of my life, I just was felt so dark on the inside. Like these things just slowly built. And I look at myself and it's really interesting because it just slowly chipped away my joy. These things gave me happiness in the moment. I felt good in the moment. I felt good when I would vape. I felt good when I would hit my Juul and feel that nicotine buzz. I'd feel good when I was just super hammered. Like it would feel good in the moment. It would relieve me from the pain I was actually feeling deep down. But deep down, I was a girl who felt lonely. I was a girl who felt misunderstood. I was a girl who had moved a lot over my life and just felt really insecure and was tired of being the new kid. I felt far from the Lord. At this point, I felt like a total imposter when I went to church. I tried to date someone I dated someone for 2 weeks who was a Christian. And in that moment, I was like, wait, I want to go back to church. But honestly, probably for the reasons of I want this guy to like keep liking me, so I'll do what he does. But anyways, it was like this season of my life where I just, like, when I wouldn't be doing these things, I just felt really sad. I felt really just far from my parents. I mean, I was lying to them constantly. They didn't know who I was. They didn't know what I was really going through. And it was just like a really hard season. I really struggled with depression in this season. I mean, it was hard. I kind of jumped around a lot, but I lived in Canada, Houston, Pittsburgh, and then I went to 3 different high schools in 3 years. And I remember it was like the junior year of high school is when I really just, that's when like everything kind of snapped. So then there was talk of maybe moving again, and I decided to graduate early. I had the opportunity with credits that I had. So I decided to go to the University of Miami. And it's actually really funny because I was between Baylor and Miami, which are very different schools. But I picked Miami. And honestly, going to Miami, I think it was a good thing for me. I think there was a lot of high highs, a lot of low lows. So at this point, I'm feeling like really just, I'm struggling. I'm really excited to leave. Like, have you ever had a moment in your life when you like know what's coming up, and as a result, you are just like infatuated with that thing, and that's all you can think about? So that was me with going to college. I was just so ready to leave. I was so ready to get out of the high school I was at. I was so ready to leave the kids that literally were bullying me. You guys, I left out a whole chunk of the story, but junior year was really hard too because I was bullied like kind of out of the movies bullying. Like, there was a group chat made about me right when I moved there called Callie is a C word. And I just was like, what did I do wrong? Like, I don't understand. So I think that I just really was seeking people's approval because of just, oh man, kids can be so mean sometimes. And I just didn't know like who to go to. I didn't have the Lord in my life like I did when I was little. So I didn't know I could go to him in these things. Oh, wow, that was heavy. I feel like this, like the pain, like the, just like, there's probably more I need to heal from, honestly, in all of this. But anyways, I go to Miami and I am, you know, I'm so excited. Ah, Miami. I get to school and you guys, the girls there were like so beautiful. Just tan, blonde hair. Oh my goodness, all the things. And you know, as someone who has struggled with wanting people to like her for most of her life, I was immediately like, okay, I need to fit in. I need to be one of those girls. I left out a whole chunk of my testimony, but I left out a little part that the wanting people to like me, wanting to fit in, wanting to be cool, I think a lot of it actually stemmed from having one of my childhood friends. She was just so kind, so amazing, but she was kind of the cool girl in school, and I remember I wanted to be exactly like her, and so as a result, I spent so much time trying to change who I was to be somebody else that I wasn't. I wanted to be like this person, and I mean, she was an amazing person, so it wasn't necessarily like the worst thing ever, but I don't think I ever really knew who Callie was. I think I was just really caught up in who are other people liking, so how do I become more like that person? Profound. So when I get to college, it's the same kind of thing. And I remember I would spend a lot of time in the gym. I wanted to change my body. I wanted to get more toned. I wanted to look a certain way, which I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to be healthier or wanting to, you know, like get toned and get stronger. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I do think it is more about the heart posture. So my heart posture was wanting to do those things to get more attention. So as a result, I remember I would spend so much time doing like the fad diets, the workouts, all those things. I was kind of in that phase. And then I started to date this guy in college. And honestly, I think the Lord, he really did use this relationship to save me from a lot of things. I definitely became more of a grandma for some of college when I was in the relationship. But I will say, like, in that relationship, I was just, like, thick in the sexual sin department and really believing that I needed to, in order to, like, continue to get guys to stay with me, to get guys to like me, like, I needed to be giving them my everything, even if maybe that everything wasn't good, if that makes any sense. I I don't know about you, but in the past, Easter has really snuck up on me, and I've found that I've brushed aside the deeper meaning behind God's ultimate sacrifice, which is sending his son to die for us so that we could have a close access to him, just as we are, no matter who we are. Easter is the reminder that Jesus died for everyone. Whether you've been walking with God for 20 years or you've never said a prayer in your life, he wants a relationship with you, just as you are. When I recommitted my life to Jesus, I was living in Miami, freshly out of a 4-year relationship, coping through the party scene, feeling so empty and anxious, when two of my friends who didn't even know each other invited me to the same church on the same weekend. And you guys, God spoke so clearly to me, and from that day forward, growing closer to him has actually changed my life forever. One of my daily habits that I love to use to really connect with the Lord is through the Glorify app, and I'm especially pumped to use it during Holy Week. It's my go-to for daily devotionals, scripture, guided worship, and even calming meditations when I'm feeling overwhelmed or far from God. And right now, Glorify is inviting us into an 8-day Holy Week challenge. 8 devotionals, 8 days, each one drawing you closer to Jesus in a simple, powerful way. They've partnered with The Chosen, and Laura Silva, who plays Eden, created exclusive Holy Week content just for the app. If you're ready to celebrate Easter in a new way, join me and join Glorify's Holy Week Challenge. You'll also get access to exclusive reflections and insights from The Chosen's Lauren Silva, guiding you through the season of renewal. Visit glorify-app.com/Callie right now to download the Glorify app for free. That's glorify-app.com/Callie to download the Glorify app for free. glorify-app.com/Callie. My healthy behemoth queen, have you ever felt like you're doing everything right? Eating healthy, working out, getting your steps in, but your energy still tanks by 2 p.m. or you just feel off for no reason? Same. And what I didn't know for the longest time is that so many of those little things, low energy, occasional bloating, mild mood dips, can actually be tied to what's going on with your hormones. Okay, but Callie, I know my hormones are out of whack. Where do I even start? That's exactly why I love Happy Mammoth. They have a free 2-minute hormone quiz that helps you uncover what might actually be going on beneath the surface. It's super quick, just a few questions about your lifestyle and what you're feeling, and then it gives you a personalized recommendation. I took it myself, and my results showed that my estrogen levels might be off. One of the first things they suggested was their best-selling herbal formula called Hormone Harmony, which is filled with plant-based ingredients backed by science. They have adaptogens in Hormone Harmony, such as ashwagandha, which helps your body respond to stress, and maca root, which I love, which supports steady energy, helps ease mild mood swings, and even supports healthy desire and drive. Hormone Harmony has over 40,000 5-star reviews, and they sell a bottle every 24 seconds. One survey even found that 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw improved mood, and 100% said they felt like themselves again. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Callie at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Callie for 15% off today. And you spell Callie, C-A-L-L-I-E. So I was in that relationship for several years, and it was a good relationship besides from just a lot of sexual stuff. And then I broke up with that person and made some other mistakes in my life, and it was spiraled and started going down a little party club moment. Anyways, we're not going to go into lots of details because I don't really need to recap all of my sin, but you can probably get the point. I was thick in sin in Miami. I would have a lot of moments where I had the high highs when I was, like, you know, partying, doing things like that with people I thought were like my close friends. And then low lows when I would wake up hungover and be like, I'm so lonely and this feels so unfulfilling. And like, what is the next thing? Just the chasing, the constant chasing, the constant seeking more, but just feeling the lows. So I remember in college, like, I just struggled a lot with really just wanting something else. I think I was very discontent in my season. I look back and I'm like, oh, that college was so amazing, so beautiful. Like, how did I not appreciate being there? But I think I was just so, like, I don't even know. I just felt empty. I just felt empty, you guys. And that's because I didn't have the Lord now that when I look back on it. So, and I was believing a lot of lies too. A lot of lies. So anyways, I'm going to speed up the testimony a little bit. But I graduated college, and at this point, I started to get into New Age stuff. So kind of the same thing I was talking about, how when I fell into sexual sin, I remember my parents specifically being like, don't do that stuff. That stuff is really bad. Like, don't, like, steer clear of any of that stuff. So when I got involved with, like, tarot cards first, I think, I don't even know what was first. It doesn't really matter. I just remember being like, wait, this is not that bad. Like, why is this so anti, like, why was this such, like, a big deal? And before you know it, like, I was doing more and more of that stuff. I had, like, little crystals. I was doing, like, the whole manifestation, like, super yoga, breath work, all that stuff. And I just want also, I just, like, want to say this. I haven't said this on the podcast, and I don't know, this might rub some people wrong. Doesn't really matter. But I used to be really into yoga. And I know this is a huge debate in the Christian world. Is yoga evil? I think it is, personally. So here's why. I used to be really into yoga, and I loved it. I loved yoga. Don't get me wrong. Love a good 10-minute pigeon pose. Like, that was so nice. Felt so good on the hips. But the thing with yoga is it is rooted in Eastern religion. If you look at yoga, the sequences, the poses, all of the, like, it's the sequences and stuff. They are literally bowing down to idols. And that is the issue with yoga, is it is, I don't think it is a good thing. I think it opens doors. And I know that there is so much debate about yoga. That's my own conviction. I spent time praying about it, all these things. It's hard because, I mean, I literally, you guys, this is me sharing my heart with you on the podcast. I've had guests on the podcast, and I have guests on the podcast who talk about yoga, who love yoga, who are Christian and do yoga. And there are so many Christians who do yoga, but definitely if you feel convicted about it, pray about it, ask God to open your eyes to the truth. Don't take my word for it, rather pray into it. That's my advice, is people will tell you things are wrong that are maybe not outwardly, like, in the Bible spoken about, and you're a little confused. You guys, pray about it. Ask the Lord for conviction, seek his counsel and things. That's my own personal conviction. I also looked into Pilates. I was like, is Pilates evil too? I went through a whole, like, legalistic thing last year, and I was like, oh my gosh, is everything evil? Pilates is a little different. The founder of Pilates, I don't think he was a Christian, but it was created to help dancers in rehabilitation. So it's like a workout style. It's not this thing that is, like, bowing down to all these idols, if that makes sense. It's a little different. So that was a little tangent. It's been on my heart, and it's been hard to say because it's like, you don't want to offend people, but also it's like, okay, this isn't actually, like, it's very deceptive, if that makes sense. And this is a whole other topic, but, like, even stretching, is doing a downward dog bad? I personally don't think so. It's a stretch. Is doing a child's pose bad? I don't think so. If you look at a young baby, they do these positions. Happy baby, they do the happy baby. Like, I don't think these positions are necessarily evil. I think it's when you put them in these, like, sequences and all of these things, and I don't totally know, so don't come at me, but take it up with God. Okay, cool. Yay. All right, so glad we had that conversation. Glad we had the conversation. So anyways, as you know, I was into all these things, and anyways, a little bit deeper than going to just, like, a yoga class, I was doing the things. And you guys, the things, I felt things from the things, from, like, the Reiki healing, all that stuff. You guys, it's not healing. It is literally tying you in shackles without you realizing it. These things do open doors to demonic. Yes, you do feel, but that's the thing. Satan is a little, he's an angel. I think an angel of light. He copycats the Lord to pretend and make it look like it's good, but it's actually not good in the end. It's going to open up doors that are going to lead to more oppression. So I had opened many doors. Anyways, you guys, then my two friends who I didn't realize knew each other, and they invite me to church on the literal same weekend at the same church in Miami. And I'm like, I think it was the Holy Spirit in me that was like, you should go. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go. It was VU, V-O-U-S. You guys, I love VU. Shout out VU. I go to VU, and you guys, this church, like, the entire sermon just spoke to me. I was like, there's no way to deny this is the Lord. Like, I never stopped believing in God, if that makes sense, but I was a little confused. I was like, wait, universe? God? What? What's happening? Anyways, in this moment, I was like, it's God. It's God. It's God. So then I have a slow ease back into Christianity. I left out a whole chunk of the story about Christianity. I had a lot of church hurt. I had a lot of church hurt. I knew a lot of people who were Christians who, you know, pretended like they were perfect and were not very nice people. We probably have come across those people before. And it's like, really? You call yourself a Christian? That's not really how Jesus loved people. So I didn't realize in the moment when those people, when you experience that kind of church, it's like the Pharisees. It's like the Pharisees and Jesus. The Pharisees were the most religious people in the times, but they were so mean to Jesus. They literally killed Jesus. Okay? All I'm saying is I had to realize that Jesus is not the same thing as the people I had experienced before. They were not Jesus. Jesus is perfect love. He is perfect love. And I had this Holy Spirit encounter where I just, like, God just started speaking to me in different things. I got a devotional by Sadie Robertson called Live on Purpose. And it was all about anxiety and depression. I was so anxious, you guys. I was like taking anxiety medication at one point. And it was just like so bad. Anyways, I started reading this devotional and it would just speak to me every day. God would speak to me through it. And then before you knew it, I slowly started feeling convictions about different things. I started feeling convictions about having crystals. And I was like, I'm going to get rid of these. Like, I'm over this stuff. I don't want to participate in these things anymore. I know the Holy Spirit and the Lord. I know that that's the side I want to be on. I don't want to be in this other side of things because I know these things are idols. I'm worshiping idols in this thing. And so I want to worship the Lord. So God just started shaping my heart because I fell in love with God again. He was with me. Even though I was still in sexual sin, I was dating my now husband. We were in sexual sin. I mean, we were having sex before we even started dating. And you guys, the Lord, he's such a kind God. He didn't just sit there and be like, Callie, you need to change every single thing in your life right now or else we're not going to have a relationship. No, he wasn't like that. He slowly over time refined me. He started to reveal things to me over time that were things that he wanted me to remove from my life, that were pulling me away from him, that were leading me into darkness, that were opening doors to darkness. Like, going back to the yoga conversation, I'd go up to New York City when I was dating John. I was in my faith. I'd go to yoga a lot. We'd do yoga together. And then over time, God revealed that to us, that that wasn't of the Lord doing those things. That was actually very thick in the New Age world. And so I just had this purification process that has honestly, it's still happening. I think that's the beautiful thing about walking with God is he just continues to purify us. And you guys, no sin is equal. Or no. Wait, that's not right. That's not right. Scratch. All sin is equal. That's what I meant to say. All sin is equal. So just because you're living one, like let's say you say something really mean to your spouse, you're angry at them. And then on the other stance, there's someone who is getting hammered every weekend and having sex, all those things. All of that is like literally equal, which is very interesting. And I think it's very oftentimes easy to look down at other people and judge them and be like, wow, they're so living in sexual sin. Wow, they are doing all those things. I can't believe they don't know that's bad. You know, the judgy Christian, the Pharisees. But end of the day, God sees all of the sin as the same. So I think what's really important to realize is instead of pursuing perfection in not sinning, what if we pursued that relationship with Christ instead, that closeness with God, that love for the Lord? Because when we pursue that, it's going to actually transform our heart to not want to sin. It's going to kill that desire a lot more. It's going to make it a lot less easier to sin. God's going to start to convict us of things that we're doing and opening our own eyes to things in our life that is not pleasing the Lord. And so it's just, wow, I feel like I just shared a lot with you guys. But that's the thing. It's like God, it's been such a process. I mean, there's more to my testimony because obviously I've lived more years since I got into my faith, but I kind of want to leave it off at that part of the testimony. But the thing is, like, God, he met me in my life when I was very far from him, when I was literally worshiping idols, when I was living this life that was totally opposite than what we think of when we think of the Christian church. But the beautiful thing about it is that that's how Jesus was when he came down to this earth. He hung out with sinners. He didn't hang out with the quote unquote most perfect people in the town. He literally met with the people that were deemed the sinners. How could you hang out with them, Jesus? People would be like confused, all those things. But it just reminds me that Jesus has a heart for everybody. He loves everybody. He sees beyond what you're currently doing in your life and what I'm currently doing in my life that is not pleasing to him, because he loves us so deeply. And that doesn't make us just like, okay, well, what? Who cares? What if we sin? Who cares? Who cares? No, it's not like that. It's not like that. If we continue to live a life in sin because we're like, it doesn't even matter, then we're not loving the Lord. Because like when we live a life that's pleasing to God, I mean, that's like, I think it's like if you have a best friend or you're dating someone and you just continue to cheat on them over and over again and you're like, eh, it doesn't matter, they'll stay with me anyways. That's not love. That's not loving the person. So I think that that is something that is really interesting and like kind of on my heart about sin lately. But it does also remind me, like, I don't think that we need to hold on to our past shame and regret and guilt. Like, I think it's important. Jesus, when we repent, God literally frees us from the past, from those things. Imagine a world if God continued to hold every single time I had premarital sex over my head. That would suck. I'd feel like the worst person in the entire world. That's how the enemy wants us to think, but that's not how God does. He loves us. He's like, Callie, like I see you for who I've made you to be. Like, I don't see you as that past version anymore. Like, that's not who you are. And our identity doesn't have to be wrapped up in our testimony either. Like, we don't have to continue to hold ourselves as the girl who overcame an addiction to sex or an addiction to money or an addiction to people's approval. Whatever it is, whatever you overcame, you don't have to make that your identity. Like, we can walk freely from things and we can share experiences and stories with other people, our testimony to others who are maybe going through the thing that we already overcame and went through. But we don't have to continue to like hold that on to ourselves like baggage, dragging it around. Like, oh, I was once that. I was once this. Like, God has, he doesn't see us like that anymore. So maybe in this season of life, you've still been feeling a lot of regret. Maybe you've been feeling shame for things, decisions you've made in the past. This is an opportunity to really spend the next few days sitting with God in those things, soaking in what it really meant that his son, Jesus, died for your sins. When he died on the cross, he was thinking of you. Yeah. Even though you weren't alive when Jesus died on the cross, he still was dying and covering your sins and my sins and all those things in that moment. He was thinking about us. So I think it's really cool to just sit with him in this. I'm going to do this for the next couple of days, just sitting with God and asking him to just help me release myself of judgment, release my past self of judgment, release my past self of shame. If there's any sort of trauma and pain that's left from those really hard times when I did things in my life that I'm so not proud of, that he would just heal me from those things. You guys, things like that can leave soul wounds. And it's really important to just invite the Holy Spirit into areas where maybe you feel pain. Like when I was sharing the part of my testimony about Pittsburgh, I felt really, really like sad. And that feeling was a reminder to me, that a signal to me that maybe there was something there I haven't fully processed with God yet. Maybe, I would think it was around like lying to my parents. Like, maybe I need to release myself of judgment for lying to my parents and forgive myself for lying to my parents and ask God just to, like, show me the truth about myself in that moment and just release that. I think that this could be a really cool opportunity to do this in our week. And I think that it's also going to bring the Lord a lot of joy to see us set free from these things. So before we go, I said we were going to do self-check-in. So we're going to do one little question, one question today. And the question is, what is an area of my life that I am still holding on to shame and past regret? So take a moment, maybe you can just sit with the Lord in this, write it down, and let's all just give that thing to the Lord right now. Jesus, would you just take that thing off of our plates, Lord? Would you just fill our mind, fill our spirit with your truth, and just help us work through that with you this week, Lord? You guys, this episode went a totally different direction than I thought it was going to, but I really hope that it just spoke to some of you today. I hope God spoke through my testimony to maybe someone who is actively walking through things that I walked through. If you are, I've been right there and I know how hard it can feel. I know how confusing it can feel. I know that sometimes it's hard because the world paints things as amazing, but God's like, that's like, we shouldn't do those things. So if you have confusion, press into the Lord for clarity. I used to have a lot of confusion around sexual sin. I didn't understand why it was wrong to have sex before marriage. I just didn't. And, you know, the Lord, he spoke through people to me. He showed me scripture. He really helped me understand why marital sex is so sacred and why it's a thing. So that's, yeah, I really hope that this did speak to you a little bit. I love you guys so much. I'm really excited for this time. Set your heart on the Lord and just take these days to really just sit with him, especially as Resurrection Sunday / Easter comes to pass. All right, I love you guys. I hope you love this episode. If it touched you, send it to a friend who maybe would also be touched by this episode, or maybe who God put on your heart to send this episode to. I don't know. Anyways, I love you guys, and I'm really excited. We have some really fun guests coming up soon. Okay, have the best day and keep sitting healthy, but human and shining. You're amazing. I love you. God loves you. You're enough just as you are. Okay, bye.